Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. I hope you're all well today. Thanks for joining me. In this episode, I'm really excited to have Emma Stonham with us. She's going to share with us her journey into self-employment as a home organiser, and she's definitely the kind of person that we all need on speed dial to call upon when our place just needs a good old-fashioned declutter. In this episode, you'll not only hear Emma's journey, but she's also going to share with us some valuable tips and tricks to help you get started with your own home spring clean. Emma, welcome. Thank you for coming on with us today. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to chat.
Good. And you're a home organizer. I love that phrase. I love that whole title. Is that something official that you self-declared, or is that something that is now a thing and a careers option for people when they leave school as becoming a home organizer?
Well, it should be. It's the best. In America, everyone calls themselves professional organizers with a Z. And I thought, you know what? I've not had to do any professional qualifications. I don't feel like I can put professional at the front of my job title. I'm going to put
certified.
Or certified, yes. So yes. I thought, I'm going to call myself a home organizer. It does what it says on the tin. And I have seen other organizers call themselves the same thing. So probably gone through the same thought process.
That's so good. And how long have you been a home organizer, Emma?
Not for too long, since 2020. I'm very much one of these people that went through the big resignation and thought, you know what? Life's too short. I'm going for it.
You saw the light.
Yes, absolutely.
And now you're shining yours. Emma, it would be really interesting to just hear your sort of progression and how you got to where you are at the moment, if you're happy to share that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess, to start with, I should probably say I've always been that really annoyingly organized friend, you know, the one with the spreadsheet for everything, neat, can't understand why people don't want to get there 3 hours early. I probably still am that annoying friend. But, and even to the point, I remember when I was 18, I wanted to go to university to do events management and be planning. And of course, at the time, that wasn't a thing. So my parents said, no, you're not doing that. Go and do something proper. And I was gutted. And now thinking back to it, I'm like, I should have done it, because now look how big event planning is. So I kind of forgot about that for a lot of years. And I worked for an accountancy firm for most of my career. I then didn't go to university or anything like that. And it wasn't until I started looking at becoming self-employed, I remembered about the event planning and thought, I've always wanted to do something within an organization. And I'd watched the shows for years, you know, Hoarders, The Home Edit, and all
yes,
of those types
love that.
Of things. Yeah, always loved that kind of thing. It's always fallen quite naturally to me. And in 2020, things went a little bit wrong. At the end of 2019, I became a single parent to two very small children. And my job at an accountancy firm went from kind of 5 hour days to 16 hour days. Homeschooling, you know, we've all been there. We've all had the real trials and tribulations of lockdown in our own way. And I completely burnt out. And all of a sudden, my home wasn't working for me anymore. The clutter was starting to build up and it just added to the overwhelm. And then my organized brain kicked in and I started to fix it. And I've always appreciated the organizing way and actually realized, wow, how much this can benefit somebody that is feeling overwhelmed, stressed, out of control in every other area of their life, which was exactly what was happening to me at the time, and changed my home, put new systems in place for me as a single mum. I needed it all different, got rid of things, decluttered it, bring in the new and all of that. And I thought, I would love to do this for other people. I was like, I've always appreciated a tidy home and an organized home for myself, just for the sake of it, and actually realizing the benefits it can have on every other aspect of your life, the confidence of feeling in control, the time-saving benefits. And so I started Googling, and then I realized how big it was in America for a career. And I was like, I'm doing it. It wasn't a question anymore if I would love to do something like that. It was, I'm doing it. I'm going to find a way to do it.
And then that's so exciting. And you didn't know anyone else in your local area, or you didn't know anyone at that point in the UK? You hadn't sort of spotted anyone doing it?
No, not at the time. I mean, there were plenty of people. It just wasn't something that was on my radar at all. And of course, it's one of those things. Once you see it, it's everywhere.
They seem to be everywhere. Yes, yeah, exactly. Once it's sort of been flagged up.
Yeah, so it's great. So I did a few courses with the Association of Professional Declutterers and Organisers.
Gosh, so there is a professional body for it. Who would have thought?
Yeah, there is. And you can search for an organiser on their website and everything.
Wow, that's amazing.
And just started the journey, started helping friends and family organise, trying to get a bit of experience in organising for other people. Yeah, and worked my way from there until one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the leap, quit my job, went completely cold turkey and dove straight into self-employed life.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So did you start to build up a client base with while you were actually working and being employed? Was that the strategy that you took, or you just literally decided to, you know, give your notice in one day and then start looking for clients the next?
Yeah, pretty much, which is probably the wrong way to do it. Yeah.
Okay, so there was a sense of urgency by doing it that way, that you suddenly, you know, you didn't have any income at all to support you, and you literally had to go out and find clients, or the bills weren't going to be paid. Was that your situation?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was exactly that. And I think in hindsight, I probably should not have just done that. I wouldn't recommend it to people.
It was very impulsive and spontaneous.
Which is not like me.
Okay.
But I think where I'd just gone through a divorce, I'd just sold the family home. And, you know, I'm only 34, so it was a lot to be going through. I was completely burnt out, hated everything. And I was like, you know what? Life is too short. Let's just do it. What's the worst that can happen? I've got to go get a job again in 6 months' time.
Yes. So was that the runway that you gave yourself? You felt that you had enough of a buffer or a backstop to be able to really make or break within 6 month period? Was that where you'd sort of looked at with your finances?
Yeah, exactly that. And I downsized the home as well. So that helped, because I didn't need to earn as much as what I did before.
So you're a little bit leaner in your operational costs.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like a big goal like that, thinking, gosh, if it doesn't work in 6 months or 3 months, I'm going to be going back to look for, you know, an employed role. That's kind of quite a motivational aspect to really have behind you for making it work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can't say I regret the decision. It was probably the best thing I've ever done. And I don't know how I could ever be a good employee ever again now we've done it. But
it's so funny. I hear that all the time. Yes. When people become self-employed, they never really look back. They feel that they become unemployable. I certainly know for my 30 plus years that I've been self-employed, I feel totally unemployable once you sort of turn that corner, just for all of the freedom options that it gives you. It, you know, it comes with a whole load of other responsibilities and commitments and things that you have to do when you are self-employed. But that whole freedom aspect of in your mindset and stuff, that's just something that can't be compared to an employed role, I think, certainly for me anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And the control over being able to be there for your kids and work when you want, even if that means you work more. But absolutely. The balance you have with work and life is so much better self-employed.
I think sometimes people swap a 40-hour employed role to when they certainly get going, it can seem like a 60-hour self-employed role, and it's like, oh my god, what have I done? This isn't how I thought it was going to be. Yes. But I think it is a matter of just getting your feet, finding your way initially, because there is an awful lot more to do when you start being self-employed for sure. I don't know if that was how it was for you, but there are so many aspects you don't take into account, all the small things that you have to do just because you are the only person doing it 9 times out of 10. And you become so many, you know, you wear so many hats in your self-employed role. Was that a surprise for you, having always been employed before?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I think I started off with a website and I thought I'd done really well getting my website up together.
You made that yourself.
Yeah, made it myself. Again, would probably outsource that if I had to do it again in the future. But yeah, it was just this minefield. You suddenly step into the business world, and I was very much keen to surround myself with other people in business really early on. And you just realize the marketing that you have to do. Like you said, you have to become a website designer. You have to know how to do PR, all of it. And it's a steep learning curve at how much and how to prioritize what you should do first.
And you came from an accountancy background, is that right?
Yes.
So you already had some sort of background knowledge of managing finances, because that's often a huge aspect that people sort of become self-employed and they're often incredibly creative and the finances isn't necessarily their strong suit. So that can often be quite a shock to people, sort of managing that cash flow and that income and expenses and finding the numbers and the spreadsheets, or sort of that can often become overwhelming and sometimes a bit of a block. But for you, that was your strong suit if you came for that. So you were saying that you found marketing more of a challenge, that whole aspect of PR and marketing. Is that right?
Absolutely. Working in an accountancy background, I was very much behind the scenes for most of my career. And all of a sudden, my face had to be everywhere. I was like, oh my word.
How did you find that?
You know what?
How did that feel for you?
I get the comment all the time that I always seem so confident and I'm always out there and aren't my reels fantastic? And I'm like, I'm terrified every time I press play. I just clearly hide it.
Yes, I think that's the reality, isn't it? Behind what we have to put out, there seems to be a pressure for us to have that outer confidence showing. And yet inside, we're feeling so nervous and anxious and small when we're creating the stuff. But it's so interesting how the perception of other people seeing our material is actually the opposite sometimes. That's what I found.
Absolutely. And I think the trick is just to do it. Mm-hmm. What is the worst that could happen? And the more I do it, the less nervous. I think we all still get nervous every now and again if you do a live or something like that. It's a good feeling. We should probably get a bit of fear.
Well, I think they say sort of, you know, nervousness, anxiousness and fear are on the same side of the coin. It's about flipping it around, isn't it? And turning that fear into excitement so that you can actually tap into it and it can serve you rather than sort of paralyze you. And because social media is moving so fast and because it is such a necessary way for us to sort of share and promote with the marketing, there are so many aspects that you do have to learn just in that social media field. And if you are a little bit older and you haven't literally grown up with it from school, it can be quite daunting to get started in it. And it can be something that sort of people step back away from and just think, oh, that's not my stuff, or that's really hard to learn. But it is all doable. But I think it's a matter of trying not to do everything all at once. We can do anything, but not everything all at once. And it's a matter of prioritizing and finding a system and getting organized to do it. Is that how you sort of tackle your social media?
Oh, absolutely. I have a weekly planner. I was about to show you, but we can't see each other. It's got the days of the week in. I write down every week what I'm going to post, when I'm going to post it. And then I batch it at the beginning of the week and then I can forget about it for the rest of the week. So then if I'm at a client,
I love batching.
Anywhere I am, it doesn't matter. I can just quickly press post and it's there, all done and dusted.
Yes. And it's all pre-prepared.
Yeah.
So just going back to your home organizer role, how did you find your first clients? Just from what marketing endeavors did you do to be able to attract your first clients and for them to find you?
Well, this is the interesting thing. So I did a few friends for free so I could get some nice before and after pictures, because I thought that would be the most important part of organizing.
Visuals, yes.
Visuals. Went to some local networking. Of course, we were in the pandemic though when I launched, and so I was using social media but using all the local tags, like I'm in Wiltshire, so I'd put Wiltshire in the tags and everything like that.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. What surprised me though was how much of the online presence still needed my help. And actually the side of the business that took off the most was my virtual declutter consultations. And so we'd do one-to-ones via Zoom and make a plan together. Kitchens were a great example because people needed their kitchens to flow better and just didn't know where to start. And we'd go through a plan together. I'd create all the shopping lists of all the storage solutions that you might need and then send it all over to them so that they could do it in bite-sized pieces whilst I wasn't there.
That sounds great. Yeah. So that's a good use of their time and your time. So you just kind of get together, have that consultation, which is done online. Do they take you around their kitchen with their camera? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, quite often it's FaceTime or WhatsApp video just because people can be on the move a little bit more.
Of course.
But yeah, it works amazingly well. And a lot of people were like, well, how can a declutterer help you virtually? But actually, a lot of people want to do it themselves. They just don't know where to get started. And having no choice because I couldn't go to their homes, we could test it out a little bit more. And it's continued to be really popular.
I think it's about having that accountability, isn't it, as well, to have somebody that's, you know, you've paid for somebody to have a consultation, they've given you some solutions, and now you need to implement it. And there's nothing quite, when people pay, they pay more attention. So if you're left to do those things to your own device, it's like, yeah, I'll do it at the weekend, I'll do it next week or next month, and then it just doesn't get done. And so having that, taking that step to actually engage somebody, pay them for that consultation, they've actually given you all of the tools. It sounds like you've given them the shopping list. How much easier could it be apart from ordering it online for them and having it delivered? I mean, that would be the final step if they didn't implement it, I guess. But yeah, that's wonderful.
That is the exact thing. Yeah. And you've always got me messaging you. How are you getting on? Do you need any help? Just because I'm nosy and I want to see it as well.
Yeah. Do you then meet up after they've supposed to be implemented it to just have a look through and sort of inspect it, as it were? Or how does that work?
Yeah, we have a voluntary catch-up call. So they can, usually I'm getting pictures and videos throughout anyway. So we don't need a call at the end, but there is always a chance to have a call with me afterwards to go through any teething problems too. But yeah, it's fast. It was really cool. And I guess that's kind of got me to where I am now with the social media following. I realized how inaccessible organizing help and the education behind it and the why behind it, because that's the bit I like. I like all the research and the why is that beneficial? And how many people wanted to organize but couldn't necessarily afford to hire an organizer to come to their home. Or for a one-off consultation. And so I just asked my Instagram. I said, who wants to come and join me on a Zoom? I've got an idea. I just want to run it by you. And I had an amazing response. And we all got on a Zoom and I run past this membership with them. And so it was something that was accessible where I could teach them that everything that's in my head and they could do it in their own time with my support in the background as well.
What a great idea. So this is a group of people, like on a Facebook group. Do you do it on a Facebook forum or another sort of membership site?
No. So I took it out of Facebook because I find that Facebook groups can get hidden in the newsfeed. You know, there's a lot going on in the newsfeed, and so you might not get notified of everything. So we have a community chat in an app outside of that. And then they have a membership area where they can access their training as well. So, yeah, and the community is incredible.
So you've effectively set that up in your self-employed business to have a membership as another stream of income within your sort of options on what you do. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you didn't know anything about membership sites or how to any of that. So that was all a steep learning curve for you. So you've learned all of that over sort of COVID and lockdown and
absolutely,
that sort of thing.
I went into business thinking I was going to be going to people's homes in the local area. That would be it. And now I speak to people all over the place.
In the UK or anywhere else?
I've had one client in France.
Right.
And I've got a few Australian people I chat to quite regularly. They've not client yet, but yeah.
That's the power of the internet. In the olden days, we would just literally be servicing people in our village, in our town. And it would be a really big deal if you had to go up to London or somewhere much further afield. Now it's just accessible for people on different continents to be able to find you, for you to be able to have a consultation. And I think that is part of what's so exciting for self-employment. And I was interested how you you had said that it's such a big thing already in the USA and it's kind of like trickling over. That's quite a common theme. When you start to look into something in the UK, you suddenly find that it's actually already gone. You're huge in the US or perhaps Australia, that sort of thing. So there's lots of things that you can pick up from what they might be doing over there and bring over to the UK, I guess, and implement more locally. Is that the case?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was looking to them when I was starting to set up like my payment structures. Would I do it on package? Would I do it by hourly? And I looked at to all of those organisers over there for advice. There's lots of Facebook groups to get advice from as well when setting up. And also to look at the styles they used and what would be right for me. And that's, again, where you just grow and develop. I think everyone does in business. You start off in one place and end up somewhere completely different.
It's like a wiggly line, isn't it? There's no direct A to B. It's always like a scenic route. And it's so interesting because you can follow any, when you are self-employed, you can literally go down any direction that really seems to get traction or that takes your interest or seems more profitable, and you can see somebody else doing something. And that's great that you had a community of other home organizers in the US that you could call on, because I think it's about not seeing everyone like that as your competition. There's enough room for everybody to service the size communities that we have on our doorstep.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the thing is, home organisers, I think, are always going to be wonderful, wonderful humans because of what they're doing in people's homes.
It's transformational, isn't it?
Yeah. And you've got to be a trustworthy person because people are trusting you with things that they wouldn't even show other people, that get hidden behind cupboard doors. And so everyone is so open and trusting and lovely in those groups. So it is a really lovely community to be part of.
And going to help somebody that's feeling overwhelmed in a really cluttered space, it may be that they're struggling. And so to open their doors to you, that makes them quite vulnerable, I think, because we all put things in drawers and stuff that we wouldn't openly share with other people, and you forget what you do have stuffed in your drawers and stuff. So to have somebody, a complete stranger, come, that is quite a vulnerable position. And so it is a privilege for you to be invited in, that they've wanted to engage your services to share with you. So I think that's and I know that you've also done some work with, I think they call it hoarding. Is that a really different area to somebody that's just having a home organizer? Is this something that is quite a different set of clients?
Yes. So although I don't work with those with a diagnosed hoarding disorder, because that comes with a different specialism.
Because it is a disorder, isn't it? When people just can't let go of things and they live in quite a chaotic state, the detriment of everything to their own health and hygiene. And it's actually a condition, isn't it?
It is. It's a diagnosed condition. And at that point, you're then working with psychiatrists and social workers and all sorts. But there are a lot of people that would say self-diagnose themselves as a hoarder, but don't necessarily have a hoarding disorder. But it's usually quite closely linked with other mental health issues. And so what they may see as a hoarding problem is usually linked to something else.
So it's manifesting as hoarding, and they're holding on to possessions and things because of...
And many that are neurodivergent can struggle with clutter as well. And so it's more about adapting their homes to the way that their mind needs things to be, rather than what all the shops put through as sensible storage solutions and what the TV shows tell you you should do, because it doesn't work for everybody.
No, I get that. Yeah.
It's a very different approach, and we do it small sections at a time. I'd only go for an hour, and we'd focus on one small area rather than tearing a room apart.
Because it can be so overwhelming, I think, for people to know even where to begin. So to actually have a designated person like yourself, it must be quite a saviour for people to be able to feel that they've got that support and that kindness and empathy to understand that this isn't how they want to live anymore, but it's painful for them to perhaps move into a new space which is unfamiliar to them. It's the same when any of us go through a change. It can be scary and that sort of thing. Would you have any tips and tricks for our listeners just to take on board, perhaps if they want to get started? Because I know that I'm obviously not a disordered hoarder officially, but I do tend to, I have a lot of shoes. I have far too many clothes. I'm a bit of a rubbish fast fashion person. And I have actually put 4 bags worth of things, of clothes that I no longer use this weekend. And it's felt so cathartic, but actually there has to be a trigger to get going. And we had some new carpets going in, so it sort of forced me into doing something because everything had to come out. But what would be some tips and tricks that you could share, Emma? That would be ideal.
Okay, should we start with the wardrobe then? Should we stick with the wardrobe?
That's a good one.
Okay,
yes.
So 2 hacks for you. I like the word hack. One is to declutter one item every day. Stick a charity bag, the next one that comes through your door, stick it at the bottom of your wardrobe and open it up. And just commit to putting one thing in it. Don't worry about what you're actually trying to achieve and the long-term goal. Concentrate on one item. And then all you've got to do when you're getting ready in the morning is find one item and put it in the bag. And it's amazing how quickly that bag will fill up without even thinking about it.
I love that. Fill up. Yes.
The other one is my favorite, and that is the hanger hack for all of your hanging items. Go into your wardrobe and put all the hangers the wrong way around so they're really awkward to get out of your wardrobe, which feels really backwards right now. Then every time you wear an item and you put it back into your wardrobe nice and clean, ready to wear again, you may put it back into your wardrobe the right way around. The hanger can go the right way around.
So that denotes that you've worn it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then give yourself a time limit, let's say 6 months or the end of summer.
6 months, gosh.
However long you want it to be. I like to declutter my wardrobe seasonally because it makes the most sense, in my head anyway. And anything still the wrong way around at the end of that period of time, you can address first and know for sure you haven't worn it. And sometimes just having that visual, sometimes the visual is enough to make you go, oh, okay, yeah.
I love that. So yes, it becomes awkward taking it out of the wardrobe. So you consciously have taken it out and then you put it back in the right way. And then you know that that was something that you have worn, and everything that's still the opposite, the awkward way around, those all things all need to go into the charity bag.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's often good for partners as well that are adamant that they wear everything. If you go sneakily turn them all the wrong way and don't tell them why you're doing it, they'll probably put their clothes back in the right way. And then at the end, you can be, see, look at all these clothes you haven't worn.
That's so good. Emma, I love that. Thank you so much. That's so good. So if people would like to connect with you, I know that you've got a great website with some tips and tricks. What would be the best way for them to reach you?
So I'm mainly on Instagram. So I'm at The Organized Co with a full stop and an underscore underneath. And my website is theorganizedco.com. And there's some free guides on there as well if anybody wants some useful bits and bobs.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Emma. I'm going to put all of that into the show notes so people will be able to click on the link to be able to reach out to you. So that's lovely. Thank you so much for your time today. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes. Do please hit subscribe. And I love it when you leave a review so others can hear what you got out of the show and just for them to see how it can help them too on their business journey. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. Earn lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress. And until next time, let's catch up soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.